Welcome back to another episode of On Life and Being Human. I'm your host, Catherine Colleen, and this is the show where we go more in depth into the articles that are on the website, and I take your questions and help you find peace and an amazing life, whatever that means for you. So today we're going to be talking about suffering, how you cannot cure suffering by suffering. That your own suffering will increase the suffering of those around you. And this is not to make you feel guilt or shame about suffering. Sometimes suffering is inevitable. And sometimes suffering is something that we bring on ourselves in search for growth or as simply a stoic exercise. And that may have its place. But oftentimes, we can cause ourselves to suffer and promote our own suffering out of some sense of guilt about what we have or the beautiful life that we're building, or out of some sense of how can I possibly be happy when others are suffering. And this is the angle that I want to explore. So, and I do this quite a lot myself, especially when I'm on travel, because I love to travel. And soon enough, that will be a full-time endeavor for me. But when I get a taste of travel right now, I always tend to kind of go through the same phases, very, very consumed by jet lag and exhaustion, and then figuring out kind of logistics of food and laundry and things like that. But inevitably, when everything settles in, I reach this point where I will feel guilty for having such an amazing life. And if you're on this journey, seeking complete connection, moving through these stages, and working your way through them, you're going to find that your life becomes more and more amazing, however you have defined that to be. And you may reach a point where life is so beautiful, so amazing, so wondrous, and you feel such gratitude for that, but you may also feel guilt for that because not everybody has chosen to have that. And certainly there are people in the world who are suffering. And so you tend to start to justify it to yourself, right? You'll say things to yourself like, hey, I worked my ass off for this life. You know, I sacrificed to get to this point. I did the work to get to this point. I worked through these stages. I worked through this journey of a self-discovery. I worked literally in my job, in my profession, and I saved my money, and I invested my money to get to a point where I have the luxury of time to think. And despite the fact that you have paid your dues to get where you are, there can be some guilt associated with that. And the sense that maybe you don't deserve to be happy because there are others who are suffering. Maybe there are even others who are suffering who are very close to you. Maybe it's not so distant. Maybe you see it every day. Maybe it's within your own family. It may be very close. So this is an old issue that goes back to the dawn of humanity. And here's the big question. How to be at peace and feel joy while knowing that somewhere others are suffering? How do we do that? So let's explore some perspectives. The Buddha... he tried suffering with the people. There's stories that say that he saw the suffering. He saw people living on the streets. He saw them sick. And this was the sort of suffering that he was talking about. And so he thought, how could he possibly be happy when there's all this suffering? He decided to suffer with them to help alleviate their suffering. maybe out of, this is my own sense here, but maybe out of some sense of misery loves company, or maybe, you know, if they don't feel alone, maybe that will help them feel better. And certainly none of us likes to feel alone. So he tried it. He tried becoming their suffering and experiencing their suffering. And it didn't work. It did not work. He himself suffered and they still suffered. And so it didn't do anything. And we can find similar stories in literature and religion all across the world. So what did he do instead? So instead, he found his own way out of suffering and then taught it to other people. And in so doing, he got them out of their suffering as well. But he had to get out first. He had to move away from a position of suffering first. And then he could help others move away from a position of suffering. So separately in the Hindu faith, each person has their own path. And if your path is to suffer, it may be because you need to learn something or you need to repay something, a karmic debt. If your path is to not suffer, then to impose suffering on yourself is to diverge from the universe's plan for you. To each his own. But here's the real thing. What you feel, be it suffering or joy or anything else, multiplies that feeling in other people. This is the big deal. Whatever you feel will multiply that feeling in the people around you and in the actions that you take. And actions that you take that are based on that feeling will also multiply that feeling for you. That's so important. I'm going to go through it again. Whatever you're feeling, whatever you decide you want to feel, whatever you do based on that feeling will multiply that feeling. So if you act based on suffering, you will get more suffering. If you act based on joy or love or compassion, you will get more joy or love or compassion. And whatever you're feeling, you're exuding that out to the people around you. And that's going to multiply that feeling in them. So if you are exuding anger, sadness, grief, other forms of suffering, you are going to multiply that feeling in the people around you. And as much as misery loves company, we ultimately do not want to do that to the people around us, right? We want them to feel joy and love and compassion. I hope. If that's not what you want other people to feel, you need to kind of examine that. I guess we'll address this while we're here. If you or someone you know is exuding negative emotions because they want those negative emotions to transfer to you and everyone around them, what's going on there is trying to kind of pull everybody else down to your level. And we all know people like this. And people who are in a place where they want to pull other people down and fill them with these negative emotions because they are often full of a sense of unworthiness. You could call it very low self-esteem. You could say they don't like themselves very much. They don't have very much compassion or love for themselves. And that's summed up very nicely by simply saying they feel unworthy. They feel unworthy of feeling good. And this could be for a lot of reasons. You can look back in their childhood. You can look at past relationships. But that's something they need to heal inside themselves before they're really going to be able to allow themselves to feel positively. But for most of us, we want to feel positively, and we want other people to feel positively. And so feeling suffering is really not going to get there. So if I get angry, that will multiply the anger of others, right? If one person gets angry, somebody else usually gets angry, and it spreads like a virus. If I get sad, that will multiply the sadness of others. They will hear about my sadness or read about my sadness and go, oh no, and they will be sad too. But if I'm at peace and I have joy, then what is that going to do? That, and only that, will multiply the peace and joy of others and help others find peace and joy as well. So I cannot guide others out of suffering if I am also suffering. You cannot guide others out of anger if you are angry. You cannot guide them out of sadness if you are sad. But I have been in a place of suffering, and I have been in a place of anger or sadness or unworthiness, and I found a path out, and I can light the way. And so can you. So if you walk your path out and you're doing the work to evolve through the stages and evolve your self-identity and create that integrated life, that complete connection to every aspect of your life, then you have something you can exude that will really help people. So they'll say, be the change you want to see in the world. I would say yes, but don't just be the change you want to see in the world. Feel the change you want to see in the world. And it's got to start with you. And we know that, but how often do we actually do that? If you want this place, this world, to be a place of love and compassion, then you be a place of love and compassion. And it will exude out from you and multiply it around you. If you want this place to be a world of excitement, intrigue, hope, you name it, whatever your purpose is here, live it. It seems so simple. But we so often fall into a guilt. And so the thing to remember, you know, how can I enjoy this amazing life while somewhere someone is suffering? And the answer is only by embracing the joy and the peace and the love and the compassion that my current life is exuding. Could I possibly help these other people? This is the only way I can help them. And then go help them and multiply those amazing feelings. So my question for you is, what do you want this world to feel like? And this is a great question that we often use to begin explorations towards your purpose and a good profession. But it's also great in starting in towards, you know, manifesting aspects of your life. But that's a great question. What do you want this world to feel like? And if it's too hard to think of what you want you to feel like, think of what you want this world to feel like. What do you want life to feel like? For me, it's a kind of a combination of peace and joy that I call relaxed joy, punctuated with excitement, because I can't handle too much excitement all at one time. But everybody's different, and we need all wonderful combinations of positive feelings. So what's it going to be for you? Feel that and recognize when you walk through a space, I don't care if it's the grocery store, exuding that feeling and having a sense of those feelings radiating out from you. And see if it feels different from your average walk through the grocery store. And let me know. Let me know how that goes. All right. So I have an audience question for you today, and this is a really, really good question. And it's a question of when to cause an issue and speak up or walk away. So I'm gonna paraphrase for anonymity here, because they've asked for it. So in a particular situation, someone was very rude to them, and they had a decision to make: to speak up about the rudeness or to be quiet and let it go. And this is a question that comes up a lot, right? When do you make that choice? When do you decide to speak up? So let's look at our options. Option one, speak up. Say something. If you speak in anger, or you speak with a sense of entitlement or rudeness, then you're going to get even more of that back. And the fact that this person has acted towards you with rudeness makes you want to be rude right back, right? Do you see how the feeling multiplies and it spreads like a virus? So we certainly don't want to be rude back, because what will that do? That will further multiply that feeling. And the anger and the rudeness will just grow and grow and grow, and this is how fights happen. So we don't want to do that. Because that will not have actually changed anything in their heart. It's not going to change how they act. So the next time they see you, they're really going to be nasty to you. So this doesn't get you anywhere, and from a practical sense. Okay, so we don't want to respond in rudeness. We could respond in kindness. That could be a really good way to go. When you treat people with kindness, you tend to multiply that kindness. But they may be in such a place of anger and unworthiness that your kindness may not be returned. So if you choose to respond in kindness, don't be shocked if they are nasty right back at you. That is their choice, and that tells you where they are in terms of their evolution around the cycle of human development and the kind of stages that they're in. And then your other option is silence. Let it go. And silence can have a really interesting effect, because people are rude for a few different reasons. One, they're rude. Sometimes they're rude because they were just oblivious to the fact that they were rude. They didn't really mean to be rude. They generally are not rude people. It just kind of happened. And if they were aware that they had been rude, they would probably be kind of embarrassed. And so either reacting with kindness or letting it go are appropriate. Other people are rude because they want to get a rise out of you. They're looking for a reaction. They want to provoke you. And in this instance, you should not respond in any way, shape, or form. The best thing to do is to be quiet, let it go, and walk away. And so another element of that decision is whether or not they have any rank over you. Not necessarily authority, maybe, but maybe they rank higher than you because of where you were in the social hierarchy there. In that case, you want to let it go as well. And I know we get this sense of justice that wells up in us. Well, how dare they be so rude? We'll tell you how they dare. It's because they're still sitting in stage three and obsessed with their needs. And they don't see you as human or having any needs. Or maybe they're in stage five and obsessed with their ideology. And they don't see you as human and and having your own ideology. They're not there yet. And if they're in these earlier stages, stage three or stage five, you get a lot of rudeness in these stages. And it's rudeness that later they're going to be really embarrassed about should they ever get maybe to stages four or six. And we should feel compassion for them about that. So overall, the best thing to do is let it go. Because if you're in those earlier stages, especially stages three or five, there is nothing you can say that's going to make any difference. There's no clever way you could express to them that make them go, oh my God, you're right. I was rude. I'm so wrong. So sorry. No, because to do that, they'd have to see you as human and they don't see you as human yet. And nothing you can do or say is going to make them kick over into the next stage. If there was something, just a magic phrase that you could say that would make someone instantly move from stage three, I am my needs, to stage four, which is I am my needs and other people have needs too, then there would be no rude teenagers in the whole wide world. Because everybody would invoke this phrase as soon as their child turned 13 and all of a sudden make them see other people as human. But we all know that's not real. We all evolve at our own pace. We all evolve in our own time. And the catalyst for that evolution is never what somebody said. Almost never. It's almost never words. It's almost always an event, an experience, something that happens to them or in front of them that makes them go, whoa, and click over into the next stage or actively working at it because that's an experience as well. So there you go. So when to stand up and when to walk away. So normally, therefore, what I would say is 90% of the time, just walk away. So if what's happening there is they're being rude or they're angry, some negative emotion being flung your way like mud, walk away. Walk away. Just if you have to say something, be kind, but walk away. Now, if it's an issue of threat, direct threat to you, threat of harm, or threat of death, well, now you're in a different area. Now you're in an area where you are going to have to stand up for yourself. So I would say, obviously, do this in a safe way. That does not invoke you more harm. Don't ever bring more anger to a situation. If you must react, then do so calmly and collectedly and ensure your own safety and the safety of those around you. I would not just sit there and allow someone to harm you. Don't do that. Or threaten you. But there's a time to fight back, and it's usually at the point of them potentially harming you or killing you. Then, okay, take action. Take swift action to ensure your own safety. Now, sometimes swift action means run away. If that's the answer, then that's the answer, and that's fine. And sometimes swift action requires something more, and I don't blame you that. So that's a very complex question. Now, the question as it came was really focused on somebody just being rude. Just being rude. In that case, just walk away. Because they don't see you as human, and you're not going to make them see you as human. So that's how I would summarize that one. And then when you walk away, you're avoiding a situation of multiplying your own anger or sense of rudeness or sense of unworthiness. You're giving yourself the gift of space to go somewhere that is full of something that feels better than rudeness or anger. and understand that this other person is probably in stage three, even if just for the moment. And time evolves us all. All right, that's enough for this week. If you have questions, you can send them in on the community page at KatherineColleen.com, or you can get there also by going to KOABD.com. Let me know how I can help. If you want to remain anonymous, simply say so. It's a very popular choice, and I don't have a problem with that. And let me know how I can help. Have an amazing journey. Until next time, Parna Asati.